Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's Bill Ryder, and he's righter than you.
The program writer than you. Sometimes.
He's a fan.
I love sports so much.
He's in your face.
I will destroy those obnoxiously arrogant, clueless, tone-deaf superstars who are marginal players, good players, made careers, who believe they're Hall of Famers.
He's nice.
We're nice here, I promise.
He's humble.
I think I'm usually pretty good here on the show about admitting when I got it wrong.
Live from Los Angeles, here's Bill Ryder.
Welcome into a Friday and a Friday show. Thank you for being here. Bill Ryder with you. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. And we don't just throw that out there as a requirement. It is an invitation. We mean it. If you'd like to call in and have your voice help shape the program, 855-212-4CBS. Please do so. Sports writer on Twitter, sports R-E-I-T-E-R, Thomas DiBenedetto, the executive producer, producer_Tom. A lot of stuff to get to. Anthony Davis with some good drama-free news for the Lakers. I'm going to assign some nicknames to some players, maybe some people on the show. Certainly Clayton Kershaw is going to get that treatment. We're going to break out the whisper phone for Andrew Bogut on updates. Hey, it's Bogut. I got the info on the whisper phone. I got all the bets. We'll see whether or not the whisper phone has allowed Bogut to remain in his home with his loving family or back on the street in the alley. It's kind of an up and down. Hey, it's the whisper phone. It always provides. Coming up in 30 or 40 minutes. Daryl Morey is out after a remarkable tenure as the general manager for almost a decade and a half in Houston. Ty Lue is in with the Clippers. And you may have heard over the years when this show... Ryder than you. I'm Bill Ryder. Hello. Happy Friday again. When this show was on in the evenings, one might have described it as mocking Ty Lue. One might have described it that way. And we may resurrect what I'm talking about and mock him again briefly before getting into why I like the hire for the Clippers. And even though it's a gamble and there's some uncertainties, we'll hit that. We have buy or sell. But we're going to start with some baseball, baby. Some NLCS and ALCS. Let me do this first. Let me offer up an asterisk and an apology to both the fan bases in Atlanta, which I mean, and in Houston, which I really don't. I know the things I'm about to say don't apply to you. Congratulations, yada-di-yada-di-blah-di-blah-blah. I get it. But outside of those two markets, one wonderful and one, you know, still wonderful, but I don't like your team, Houston. The reality is that was some baseball brutality last night. Is 2020 not hard enough that we can't now we all have to weep together at our baseball as well? One of the things, and I really do, that I love about sports, that I love about this radio show, just having a radio show, sports talk radio in general, writing TV when I do that at CBSSports.com and CBS Sports HQ, and I really think this is true, is that sports, I think, and I say at their best, but maybe at their most realistic, their most accurate, they reflect life back to us. They do. They're a mirror for me, not a distraction. And that's often the great stuff. It's also the fact that life is wholly unfair. Because in a fair world, Clayton Kershaw has a good outing. I mean, life isn't fair, and Clayton Kershaw is not the guy he needs to be in the postseason. Those are facts. But come on. Again, outside of Atlanta, or maybe Giants fans, who's rooting against Clayton Kershaw? The guy's a stud. He's a massive talent. Told you yesterday that entering this postseason, he had been good this postseason up to last night. Entering this postseason, the Dodgers ace in his previous four outings in the playoffs had pitched 17 innings and given up 14 earned runs. And that was after the narrative was set that he was one might call it an absolute bum in the playoffs, despite his absolute excellence in the regular season. And last night was an interesting test. And more importantly for Dodgers fans, but connected, of course, was the fact that to win that game is to take control of the NLCS against the Braves and go up 3-2. To lose it is to do the opposite, and Kershaw's role in that, fair or not fair, right? Pitch seven strong innings, give up two or three earned runs, lose by a run. Doesn't matter. You have to match the opposing pitcher. A guy checks notes, Bryce Wilson with an S, checks notes again. Yes, good old, you know, he of the seven career starts in the regular season. You got to match that guy frame for frame. But checks notes a third time, isn't sure he's had enough coffee. Bryce Wilson actually absolutely outdueled Clayton Kershaw. And then, of course, on the ALCS side, not just an Astros win. Isn't momentum amazing? The Astros and the Dodgers are in the exact same place in their respective championship series. They are both down 3-2. But the Astros feel like they are ahead of the Dodgers. Down 3-0, have won two in a row, and they do it last night on a Carlos Correa walk-off home run in the bottom of the ninth inning. I have, if you've listened to the show, and if you haven't, I have said what everyone else has said outside of Houston. Man, would Carlos Correa please stop rubbing his cheating and self-righteousness in our face and just, you know, play baseball. But he's a talented dude. He is it. And to be fair, Jose Altuve, his teammate, who has had the yips defensively, has been on fire offensively. And we saw it last night. Life ain't fair, man. Life ain't fair, and America weeps over so many things, including our baseball. Last night, Kershaw went five innings, gave up four earned runs. And don't give me the whole, Dodgers fans, I love you. I do, actually, literally. Don't give me the whole, only three of those, one was in bullpen. Handing the ball off in the fifth inning, having given up 300 runs and a guy on base who happens to score, not okay. If your checks notes a fourth time, Bryce Wilson, all right, buddy, it's okay. You're Bryce Wilson with an S. Kershaw's supposed to be something more. And one of our callers yesterday at 855-212-4CBS brought up Madison Bumgarner, who is the perfect comparison. I can give you Verlander. I can give you Randy Johnson. I can even give you Greg Maddux, who wasn't exactly Mr. Overperformer in the playoffs, although he was great. He just was on a Braves team that underperformed, ironically. Let me give you Mad Bum. In his last 10 outings, Clayton Kershaw has pitched exactly in the postseason, and I'm only doing starts here, three gems over that stretch. Three. This goes back to Game 5 and also Game 7 of the 2017 World Series against the Astros, who were stealing signs at the time. But nonetheless, three gems in 11 outings for a 4.50 earned run average. Again, not the stuff of legends, even if those of you that are Dodgers fans, oh, it's a quality start! Okay, cool. It wasn't quality. 5-8 record over that stretch. And the games where he was excellent was a 2018 NLDS game early in that series, where he went 8 innings and didn't give up an earned run. It was awesome in that series. A 2018 NLCS game 5, 7 innings pitched, an earned run. And earlier in this postseason when he was awesome, when eight innings, almost hitless baseball. Not last night, 7 hits in 5 innings. Mad Bum. Over his last 10 postseason outings, his last 10 has 8 gems. And I'm not giving him gem credit for 8 innings and 3 earned runs over that stretch. I'm not qualifying that as a gem. His earned run average over that stretch is 1.10, and he is 9-1. That is what you're supposed to do. That is the standard. Clayton Kershaw can't even remotely come close to it. And I take no pleasure in it. Last night, I went outside after the game, and it was dark outside in L.A. It was late after both games, and my wife, Lori, was sitting outside, and my buddy Ian, my neighbor, was hauling a huge box up the street. Amazon had put it in the wrong place. It was like dog food. It weighed like 400 pounds or something. He's like, oh, they're swearing. This is bull smack. Like, oh, man, I'm sorry. Is that no phone, Amazon? Not that, the Dodgers. Then he went in his house and slammed the door. I get it. I feel you. I got you. And the Correa thing is just brutal. I'm going to tell a story. This is how America feels about Carlos Correa. Bear with me here. Because this is a shared experience. I'm watching the game, and I have this intuition, this fear that the Astros are going to have a walk-off. You know, double. Guy on first, walk-off double or something. And Carlos Correa comes up, and I think to myself, if the guy who was a part of the cheating scandal for the Astros, who has said in this postseason, basically, what are you going to say now? I can't hear you. If that guy's going to hit a walk-off home run to basically bring the ALCS to 3-2, I'm going to lose my brain. So I have a chore to do. I'm going to do it. I have a phone call to make. I'm going to make it. And I travel a lot in normal times for my job covering the NBA and just covering a variety of sports. I have a lot of points from a international, you know, international hotel chain. So I tend to stay for free at very, very fancy hotels. It's basically the Beverly Hillbillies if you take out hillbillies and insert Iowans and you take out Beverly Hills and put it in Manhattan Beach, California. But it's a very similar thing. We used to show up in our Prius, our beat up Prius. We thought it was a nice car. And there was it took all the restraint at this hotel in particular for them not to they almost told us to leave. You could just like, sir, I'm sorry, this is the fancy hotel. Do you have a reservation? Yeah, man, Ryder. My kids are screaming. My son's dropping F-bombs for the first time at age 5. So we're not exactly woke. We go into this place in our jeans and our whatever, and there's like people in fancy clothes, and we don't fit, and we don't care. We just don't care. Yeah, we're here for free on the points for 3 years of travel. So I call this particular hotel last night. Lori and the kids and I, if health situations allow, are going to go to this fancy spot probably in December, maybe for Christmas week. And my kids have gotten older, and I've gotten older too. I'm probably less patient. We used to cram into a single really fancy room. And now, like, all right, let's do two rooms. Let's get connecting rooms. And I call, and I can put on hold, and it's fancy, you know, orchestra music or I don't know. I'm not fancy enough to even know what it was. It was just instrumental, and there were no words, and I didn't really know what was going on. But it felt very fancy. And I get a gentleman at the front desk. Hello, this is the fancy hotel. How can I help you? And I start, and I, you know, the game's on. I'm doing this. I don't want to watch Carlos Correa play. And I'm starting, like, hey, man, we're coming down, and I want to try to get connecting rooms. I have two reservations. She's like, can I have the confirmation number, please? And I give it to him, and you hear him. Whenever they realize that you're not paying, basically, you're doing it for free, there's an intake of breath. You know, I'm asking. I'm also like, hey, can you also upgrade me to a better view? I'm basically being super obnoxious. And Carlos Correa hits that walk-off home run, and I start screaming into this guy's ear. No! This is no words I can't say on the radio! No! And I hear the guy exhale. And he's like, is everything okay, sir? And I go, dude, I'm so sorry. I hate the Astros right now. He's like, and his voice changes. I hate the Astros too, man. What's going on? Oh, my God. Did Correa just hit a homer? I'm like, yeah, dude. He's like, oh, I'm at the front desk. I can't see it. And we just both start screaming in the phone like, you know, monosyllabic males. No. I got the upgrade. I got the connecting room. The guy's a Yankees fan in the Bay Area. We're going up to San Francisco for December. And the point is this. Even the hatred of the Astros can cut through the classism of the Beverly Hillbilly, Iowa, and Manhattan Beach people trying to go to the fancy hotel. It is a shared and unified disgust. It is. And Astros fans, you can be angry. You can pretend. I know we live in a time where people like to pretend the facts are what they want them to be, and you can find an outlet for that. You guys cheated. And you're not cheating now, right? And I understand you're earning what you're earning. And that is its own redemption for you. And really, and this is hard for me to say, good for you guys if you get there, and good for Carlos Correa if he gets there. I can't celebrate that, and neither were other people, because we want some fairness. 2017 wasn't fair. It wasn't. It was not to any of the teams that played the Astros on the way to that World Series, including the Dodgers, who obviously can't get it done because of Kershaw. And we want you to fail in 2010 because we want there to feel like there's fairness in the world, especially in 2020. And there's not. There's not in baseball. There's not in anything. It is what it is. And that was on stark display last night. If 2017 led to any kind of real baseball karma, Clayton Kershaw would have done what he's capable of doing if he could handle the moment, which he can't. And that has gone out there and dominated that team and found a way to beat Checks Notes a fifth time, Bryce Wilson with an S. And he couldn't do it. And neither could a Rays team that's still very much in that series. Can the Dodgers still win two in a row and beat the Braves to make a World Series? They can. Can the Rays win one out of two and beat the Astros? They can. But the uncertainty of it and the fact there's going to be no connection to what should happen, and we know what should means varies from person to person and city to city, and I do recognize if you're in Houston, how you feel, and I do recognize if the Chicago Cubs, I'd like to think I would have the same wherewithal to root against my team, but I won't pretend that's true. I don't know. I get where you're coming from. And I hope your hearts are broken into a billion pieces because of what Carlos Correa and that team, not just did, but how they've conducted themselves. But Correa manned up. It was an incredible moment. It was awesome in a terrible, horrifying, Empire Strikes Back. I have to explain to my children at an early age the bad guys can win sometimes. I actually am wearing a Darth Vader shirt that says Galaxy's Best Dad. And I'm going to wear this to the fancy hotel the moment I go there. Because it screams. Yeah, it screams. I ain't got no class, but I got those points. And I'm here to stay. Where's the free coffee? Let's get. It smells like rose petals. I don't know what rose petals smell like, but that's what I think is going on. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS. Anything you want to hit, and I want to get into the Colts and these positive, unfortunately, series of positive COVID tests for Indy. I've got some nicknames to distribute to Clayton Kershaw. But I have a question for you. And if you want to address it on Twitter, SportsWriter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, or the phone lines, 855-212-4CBS. Which team, the Dodgers down 3-2 in the NLCS, or the Astros down 3-2 in the ALCS, obviously the Astros with tons of momentum and the Dodgers now with none, which team do you think is more likely to mount a comeback and find their way to the 2020 World Series? 855-212-4CBS if you want to weigh in. Happy Friday. Bill Ryder with you. We'll keep it rolling next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. We got the whisper phone coming up in a few minutes.
Hey, bogus, it's the whisper phone. We got the mats.
Only one of you gets that. We got some nicknames for Kershaw. Some of the guys helped me narrow down this list I came up with. And no, America, they're not kind. They're just accurate. But first, some phone calls off of outside of Atlanta and Houston. A rough night. Great baseball, though. I mean, compelling theater and drama. And the Braves beat down 10-2 the Dodgers. But the Kershaw debacle again. And by the way, under that, a Dodgers offense that struggled to produce runs. I know they had 431/15 the other day, but still. And the Correa walk-off. All right, we got a few calls. Love you guys to listen. Appreciate you at 855-212-4CBS. Let's get to these calls. Let's go to Texas. Abilene. I won't tell the story too long, but my one time in Abilene, I won money playing 8-ball. Guy had a lot to drink because I'm not that good at pool. Great. I had a great time there. A couple times there. Randall in Abilene, what up, buddy? Appreciate you listening to the show. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Bill, I want to say, man, I'm so glad you've got this spot in the mornings here in Abilene. I love listening to your show. You're top-notch, my man. Just glad to have you.
Thanks, dude. Hey,
absolutely. Okay, let's start off. I want to make this quick for you. Houston was caught cheating last year. The Astros, they admitted it. They were busted flat out, honest to God. I think they should have lost that. They should have been stripped of the championship. They should have lost it. There is no doubt about it. Pete Rose, everybody knows what happened with Pete Rose, the punishment he took on, far more severe than what the Astros picked up. And the Astros, I mean, they cheated, okay? But here's where I'm at now. It's hard to find a true Astro fan that doesn't show shame and that doesn't hide in the bushes. This year, the guys have been playing fair. The guys are playing the game the way it's supposed to be, and they've earned their spot to where they're at. Unfortunately, everybody's still riding last year's issue with the cheating, and they're really getting kicked around pretty hard for the cheating from last year. Some of the same players, I understand, I know that, but they're playing the game the way it should be, and I just would like to see everybody get off their back a little bit, and let's just watch them play baseball, and if they make it, I don't think everybody's going to be pretty bitter about the fact that they did it. But I just wanted to share that with you. I wanted to just drop that footnote on about Pete Rose. I think it's time to let Pete back in.
It's a great call, dude. No, dude, you're right, Randall. It's a great – look, dude, I appreciate you, man. That's a great point. It is a fair point. And I'm with you on Pete Rose, too, even though I think he's a terrible person. I mean, thank you, dude. And by the way, thanks for the kind words and for listening down in Abilene. Really appreciate you. And you made me realize something I had never thought of, and thank you, Randall, for the insight. Had they stripped the Astros of that World Series, dramatic punishment had it been, and accurate, proper, just, I would be rooting for them right now, strangely. Like the bizarre nature of human nature, right? You root for those guys that I did, at least, who used PEDs, who owned it and felt some shame, and you don't, or I didn't, for the guys who were unwilling to accept responsibility. I'm with you, man. Like, everything you said is accurate. I'll say this in defense of those of us that can't get there, even if we're wrong, even if that's my emotionality coming through. Carlos Correa isn't helping. Like you're, I believe you. You're down there. I'm not. I believe Astros fans are owning it, if you tell me they are. Carlos Correa is not. And it's hard when the best player on that team doesn't have a sense of shame. But I love the point. I appreciate the perspective. And maybe Carlos Correa is too emotional over the criticism to be rational in his humility. And maybe I'm too emotional in my anger that the Astros cheated us to be humble in my ability to get over it and give this team credit for something different than 2017. It's a great call, and I appreciate the perspective on CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, which is 855-212-4227, and it's sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It will keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. Let's go to Alberta. Andrew's on the line. Andrew, thank you for listening, buddy. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, awesome. Good morning. And you have a fantastic morning show, by the way.
Thank you.
My big question is, and maybe this is because baseball's not seen as a super national sport compared to the NFL, but with the Astros truly cheating on all levels, where does this compare to Spygate? I mean, people still go on about that 20 years later. Do you think this will still have the same resemblance? Only if the Astros dominate, or if it's just because, it's baseball. People in Houston care about Houston. People in L.A. care about L.A., and that's about it.
It's a great comparison, Andrew. Thanks for the call, dude. You also gave me another insight I hadn't thought of. I don't love that the NFL clearly covered up for the Patriots, right? Destroying evidence. But that's better than being like, wait, they did it. No punishment. I mean, like again, Robert Manfred, either be sinister enough to cover the entire thing up, or be just enough to punish properly when you don't. Don't be so bad at your job that you can't handle one of those two extremes. I think this is more severe and will be less remembered because the Patriots are a more significant force because of the sport they play and the success that they've had. But we know, I believe the Patriots cheated. I do. I know the Astros did because baseball told me they did. There's been actual punishment. All right, thank you for the calls at 855-212-4CBS. Got to get to the whisper phone in a minute.
Hey, Bogus, it's the whisper phone. Put everything on this team.
So guys, Tom DiMenedetto and Andrew whisper phone Bogus. I was talking about nicknames the other day. Bogus, we've got a few for you. I don't even know if you know all these. We've got, you know,
the whisper phone.
It's not really a nickname, but it's a thing that's associated with you. Hello, by the way. Happy Friday.
Good morning.
50 Shades of Thank you. 50 Shades of Bogus. And then was yesterday the magical moment where we got your middle name, or is that 2 days ago?
I think that was yesterday.
All right. I don't know if you heard, because you were gone, we also nicknamed you Arb, which I'm sure you've never heard in your entire life. Andrew Ryan
Bogus. You know what?
Bogus.
I have not got. No, never. No Arb. Version of my initials. No Arb, no Arby. That's
yeah,
never
Arby
happened.
Is there.
Ooh,
like
Arby,
that
too. That's more jocular and kind, though. I'm trying to go with more of an Astros vibe to the show right now, right? Cheating you of any honesty or accuracy.
Right. That's fine.
Other than the whisper phone. It's freaking real, Bogus. All right, I've got a series of nicknames for Clayton Kershaw. They're not kind. Gentlemen, can I go through these, and can you guys help me select what we will use for the show?
Of course. I'm ready.
Let's do it. I've got Kerflaw.
Ooh.
Okay. I've got, this is, you know, a reflection of how Dodgers fans feel about him. Instead of Clayton Kershaw, it's Hayton Kershaw. I've got Clayton Notfisha. Because he's not for show when he goes out there. Yeah, that one's not as good.
Yeah, weaker.
And I can't read my own handwriting. Oh, here we go. Clayton Notogeisha.
Also less. They kind of all
that
went
one's
downhill.
Definitely out.
That one's out? I like that one. Clayton Notogeisha.
Not for Shusha.
And you can add Eddie.
Yeah, the first two are like a 43-win regular season. The last two are like losing to the LCS in five games.
The What's the last one, the Jets? Adam Gase helped me come up with it?
I don't know that it was that bad. Let's not get carried away. The first two were legitimately good, though. I buy the both of them. Either one could work.
Anything you guys want to add to the mix before so we've narrowed it down to Hayton Kershaw and my personal favorite, Kerflaw.
Yeah, that's so
not
good.
Clayton Kerflaw, just Kerflaw.
Ooh, maybe you think Clayton? All right, let me do them both. I think Clayton Kerflaw is probably better than just Kerflaw, right? You need the whole thing. Oh, Clayton Kerflaw is pitching. Clayton Kerflaw is pitching again.
First reference. So first and last name Clayton Kerflaw. Then after that, he can just be Kerflaw.
I like Kerflaw. Are we going Kerflaw?
Yeah, I think that's the one.
Where are we settled on Bogish, Tom? I guess it's still developing.
See, I'm fascinated by the uniqueness of Arb, so I think that that might be my pick. Just because no one else has done it, it's special to the show.
Psst, it's me. It's a whisper phone. Is Arb around? Got an amazing insight for him.
Not ARB like OBJ. We're going to go Arb. We're actually going to say it as a word.
Yeah, ARB is too cool.
Yeah, okay. Now, that said, if you, I'm not saying you have to do this for the show, or your commitment to CBS Sports Radio. But if you want to get a giant muscle tat, like right on your bicep of ARB, that would be cool.
Or a face tat, either way.
A face tat of ARB. Well,
it's too early for that.
Too early in the relationship?
Yeah, like year three of the show, we can talk about the face. But right now, it's a bicep or someplace you can't really see all that well.
You really let me down in the clutch. What are you, Clayton Kerflaw? Feels so good. That guy sucks. Am I allowed to say Clayton Kershaw sucks? Clayton Kerflaw sucks. He doesn't suck, but man, what a disappointment.
I just feel bad. I don't feel anger. I feel bad that it just can't go his way. Like, and it's happened. I mean, he's had good games. He has 11 career postseason wins. It's a flawed stat, no doubt. But I mean, it's number two active, I think. But the other stuff is just crazy. His ERA gets progressively worse by round.
Dude.
He's given up the most go-ahead or tie-breaking hits after the sixth inning of any active pitcher in postseason. I think he and Vrillinger have the same number. I mean, it's just unbelievable that he can't just give me one majestic, complete game shutout two-hitter to, at least for a little while, stop this conversation.
Arb is making amazing points. You know what? Your sympathy made me realize. This is you and I that are different. When times are normal in New York and we're on the train, right? The subway. What's your train? Do you have like a go-to train? Like I was a 2-3 guy in New York. I was on the 2 and the 3 and then the 1.
Yeah. Pat, you had to go north from us to Penn Station to get on the Long Island Railroad. So that was the first train I got onto, yeah.
It would be like the guy in the Armani suit, right? Because I'd be going home late. Who's clearly wealthy, but very drunk, just quietly whimpering and wetting himself on the train. Like, you feel sympathy. That is basically an analogy, a metaphor for Clayton Kerflaw. You feel sympathy for this winner who's suddenly a loser in this moment. Can't get home. Can't close the deal on the night, right? Can't just like, and I'm just like, you suck, bro. Like, you are stinking up the car and you're better than this. You're in an Armani suit. You don't deserve whatever job you have.
And even, I mean, last night wasn't terrible. Story. And you can't disconnect all the other games, right? I mean, they haven't hit anybody. This offense has hit nobody in this series. Didn't hit Bryce Wilson last night, giving him no margin for error. And he had half a bad inning, and he's the devil this morning. He's hating
Clayton
Kershaw.
That's his job! He's not the devil. He's a letdown and a bum who can't live up to his... I'm with you, and I think there's a really interesting conversation if and when the Dodgers lose this series or the next series, if they advance, about on-base percentage and Andrew Friedman and just all the acolytes of this approach, their need to understand and accept that you have to have guys who can drive in runs and create, not to use an imperfect NBA comparison, but in the playoffs, you have to be able to create your own space, right? It's a different game. And in baseball, you have to be able to have guys who can generate run production, who can drive in runs without this long-term grind it out mathematically success formula of getting on base and letting that take care of itself.
And yesterday was such a good example because it was like the wind game. There was all this wind. In fact, it's part of why I have a hard time feeling a lot of sympathy for Kershaw, because he's complaining after the game about them not closing the roof, complaining about the wind. Like, dude, guys, this is part of the game. There are elements. This is why fundamentals exist. This is the whole point of why the approach to hitting has not for the last 120 years been home run, walk, or strikeout. There's a reason for these fundamentals, guys. You're not seeing it. Stop complaining about the roof.
Boy, it's such an LA complaint, too. There was weather today. It's
ridiculous. Ridiculous.
All right, Arb. I like Arb. I'm settling. Do you like Arb? Because nicknames are, you can't give yourself a nickname. I had never had a nickname in my entire life, ever, until Artrell Hawkins on my early in my radio career just decided to only call me Sweet Willie. But I'm like, who's gonna listen to a weekend radio show over here? Like, no one. And then it migrated to FS1. You guys know Ryan Field? He actually does. I think he's the guy on ABC in New York now, right?
He is, yeah.
That's correct.
Talented guy, buddy of mine, great guy. For 3 years at FS1, like on serious and not so serious hits at night when I was on TV 5 nights a week, would not call me Bill Ryder on the air. Would only call me Sweet Willie, to the point where when he was hosting, in the graphics, it would say Sweet Willie. I'm sure there were people like, who is this guy? So you don't get to pick your own nickname. And I won't pretend that I loved it, but it was what it was. I feel like Arb is an evolving leader in the clubhouse. I like it.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like robotic to me. Like, I don't know if you guys like me, you're going to call me Arb. I'm not sure if it's a term of endearment right now.
Well, I don't think Sweet Willie was. But you were sweet. That's what
it's cold, hard Arb.
You're old Arb. You're basically a sort of, you're a distant and cold but slightly beloved Rick and Morty character. That is what an Arb. That's Arb. That which sums you up, man. You got the whisper phone. You got the whisper phone. You're edgy, but we like you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Arb, what else we got going out there, buddy?
Come on, your headlines are sponsored by your headlines are sponsored by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. We'll begin with the good news from the NFL. All the Falcons testing negative yesterday, so they are returning to their practice facility today. And the Browns are all good at the moment as well. Odell Beckham Jr. was sent home sick yesterday. The Falcons and Browns good to go for their games on Sunday. But the Colts are closed today while they confirm multiple positive COVID tests. Indy scheduled to play Cincinnati this weekend. We also have Nick Saban trying to figure out how to coach Alabama tomorrow night against Georgia. If he is still quarantining, Saban can't talk to anybody during the game and can't be at the stadium in any way, but he can clear quarantine apparently with 3 consecutive negative results, the last 2 within 24 hours. And then there is regular football news. Le'Veon Bell signing with the Chiefs yesterday, who are only 13th in the NFL in rushing yards. Bell will not clear COVID protocols in time to play Monday night against the Bills. The Houston Astros apparently had the Rays right where they wanted, spotting Tampa Bay the first 3 games of the ALCS, and now the comeback.
Pitch on the way, and Correa hits it in the air, pretty deep to center, sends back Kiermaier at the wall, see you later, and see you tomorrow! The Houston Astros win it in the bottom of the ninth on Correa's walk-off homer, 4-3, and there will be a game 6.
And he almost broke Astros radio in the process. The world's shortstop, Carlos Correa, the game-ending solo homer, game 5 of the ALCS, a majestic blast to straightaway center for a 4-3 win over Tampa Bay. The Astros just the 4th team out of 38 to reach game 6 after trailing 3-0. First pitch in San Diego today is 3 Pacific. Maybe the Dodgers also playing rope-a-dope with the Braves, now down 3-1 in the NLCS.
Ozuna waiting for a 3-2 pitch. Here it comes, and there it goes on a line into the gap in left center field. Chasing it down as Bellinger keeps it off the warning track. Freeman is in. Ozuna goes to second. He's safe with a head first slide. It's 3-1 Braves.
That's Jim Powell on Braves radio. Marcelo Ozuna's RBI double came in that 6-run sixth. That knocked Clayton Kershaw out of the game last night. He was charged with 4 runs on 7 hits and 5 plus. Ozuna finished 4-for-5, 2 homers, 4 RBI, 3 runs scored, while 22-year-old righty Bryce Wilson allowed just 1 run over 6 in his 8th career start. Their Braves won 10-2, are a game away from their first World Series since 99. Game 5 starts just after 8 Central in Arlington. Ty Lue is the Clippers' new head coach, and Daryl Morey is stepping down as Rockets GM at the end of the month. Houston still needs a head coach as well. They have spoken with Jeff Van Gundy the last 2 days, and there's some reported momentum for John Lucas because of his connections to Harden and Westbrook. Lucas was last an NBA coach in Cleveland in 2003. Bill, back to you.
Thank you, Bogus. Good stuff from Arb. We're going to try to make that stick. Now, to be fair, you have a long history here, but just be careful because Bogus, Ryan Hickey, when he started to work on the show I did at night, did or didn't just demand to be called Trace, as in the number 3 in Spanish, T-R-E-S. And I didn't realize until I left and came back that everyone calls him. That's his name now, right? Like, everyone calls him Trace, Tom DiBenedetto tells me.
On and off the air, yep. It stuck.
Did it? I mean, I've never heard it. I haven't seen him in forever, but I've never called him Trace or heard anyone call him that. Is he Ryan Hickey III?
Oh, wow. No, Arb. Arb, you got it. You got it. You got it. You got to get up with the. I was talking to our boss, David Marinick, yesterday, and he just randomly dropped a Trace, or maybe the conversation before that. Like, oh, yeah, I talked to Trace. T-R-E-S. It was a weird, like, demanded it, had it on his Twitter handle, very over the top for a fill-in back in the day, like, please refer to me as Trace. Had a guy here who also changed his last name to, like, Sizzle or something because he wanted to be on the air. I don't remember what it was, like, something like that, like, producer. Just, like, one of those moves, right? Like, okay, bro.
And
okay,
then there's
Sizzle.
Stu.
Cole Stu, man.
Who's and actually... then there's Stu. Stu. I mean, goodness.
Yeah, we had a lot of ego in the night show. None
Seriously.
Of it coming from the host chair. All of it coming from behind the glass. 100% accurate. All right, Arv, good stuff. Let's move on. Let's do this. Let's talk some Le'Veon Bell. I love that move to the Chiefs. Broken, by the way, by our friend of the show, Therese Paylor over at Yahoo Sports, and some Anthony Davis. Each of their decisions on how they impact two of the most interesting teams in sports, the two reigning champions in the NFL and the NBA, respectively. We'll get into those things next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Ryder with you. Thanks for being here. I was thinking about Tom DiBenedetto, executive producer, the start of the show where I told a very true story about a fancy hotel I called yesterday to get a free upgrade and blah, blah, stuff I wanted off my points when Cray hit that homer and I started screaming. And this is an exaggeration, but the guy on the other line basically went from, sir, I don't know if we can help you, to when he found out Correa hit the homer. What are we talking about here? I hate Correa. I'm a Yankee fan. Like, are you? Hello? Is this the same guy? What is going on? For better or worse, many people would argue worse. I just am what I am. And I, you know, I ain't apologizing for it. And that's who I am. And can I tell you a quick the Ryder family to LA story that my wife tells as a slightly embarrassed moment and I wear as a badge of honor?
Please.
So, and this is going to, again, like, it is what it is. I had an agent for a long time named Evan, who's a great guy at CAA, which is a weird thing to say out loud. The first time I ever went to an agency, I got recruited. I thought it was going to be like Better Call Saul. I ever tell you a story? So I showed up in like a stained shirt. I went as a favor to a boss. I literally got in a taxi in LA. I lived in the Midwest and I thought it was going to be a scam in a strip mall. And I was going to like talk to a Better Call Saul guy and then just like leave. And I pulled up to the CAA building in LA, which is the Death Star. And then like an idiot Googled the person who had asked me to meet with him. I was like, oh no, this person's legit. It was a crazy deal. Changed my life, actually. But so Evan was my agent before I went to another business. Great, great guy, great agent. But when I first moved to LA, he invited me to CAA is a very powerful company and invited me to a CAA party in downtown LA. And like John Hamm was going to be there. All these celebrities were going to be there. The height of Mad Men. And I don't know, I thought I was dressed nicely. Like I put on one of my what I thought was my best collared shirt and I had jeans and I put on what I thought was a nice sports coat and shoes that I thought looked okay with it. And Lori got into whatever her best outfit was. And look, to be fair, I don't know how to dress myself. Like all the clothes I wear, Fox Sports 1 and CBS have picked out for me over the years where they've basically been like, you are horrible looking and you wear terrible clothes and we're going to treat you like a child. And that's fine, is what it is. But this is before that. So I show up and we're mixing with people. Remember Pat O'Brien? Like Pat O'Brien was there and was like kind of very sweet to my wife, like, because she obviously Lori's a little uncomfortable. It was a high powered and this party was in a room maybe the size of a living room. It was very, so like John Hamm was 3 feet away. My wife was just staring at John Hamm. He actually glowed. You know the pictures of saints where there's like a halo just around him entirely, just John Hamm doing his thing. And my Evan agent walked up to me and Lori and looks at us and goes, he's from Long Island. He's like, what are you wearing? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, no, I'm serious. Because this guy would always be like, just tell me how much I sucked at everything. You gotta be better. You sound like you're 12 and you look like you're an idiot. Like, well, you signed me as a client. I don't know what to tell you. He didn't really have an accent, but he's from Long Island, so I'm going to go with it. What are you wearing? And I'll never forget the line. I'm like, I don't know. I think we look good, Evan. Back off. He goes, yeah. You're the snazziest dressed people in Kansas City, Missouri. Here's the thing. You're on L.A., you moron. And he walked away. That's the guy. That's the couple that goes to the fancy hotel when we travel on free points.
I love that story.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's true.
Sorry, CAA building's like one of the most intimidating buildings in all of Los Angeles, too.
Oh, my God. I mean, I literally, because I didn't know I was going to move to L.A. In fact, I moved to L.A. in large part because this place, you know, whatever, signed me and well, it's such a weird life story. But you know, I showed up. I think I even I, something to the taxi driver like, no, this can't. I didn't know what Avenue of the Stars was. Thought it was going to be, you know, next to a taqueria and an In-N-Out burger. That was
yeah,
crazy.
I'm just going to a strip mall. This is clearly
right.
Not it.
I'm sorry. No. 8600 Avenue of the Stars, sir. What an idiot I am. What a moron. I can't tell because the guy that I met, a guy named Nick Khan, who just left to run WWE, the guy that like brought me in, is a big shot and changed a lot of people's careers. Great guy. I can't decide if he just looked at me like, what a Midwestern rube, or it was like the Zuckerberg thing where, you know, Zuckerberg like would go in his pajamas to raise money, be like, I'm above it. Maybe I accidentally look confident. And that's what
you
I
begged them successfully.
That's what I pulled off. I am what I am, as Popeye said. So speaking of Kansas City, I love Le'Veon Bell to the Chiefs for Le'Veon Bell. For the Chiefs, again, congratulations to friend of the show and one of my closest personal friends. I'm just such a fan of the guy as a person and certainly as a NFL reporter and talent. Therese Paylor at Yahoo Sports, previously the Kansas City Star, who broke this news. It's perfect. It is a perfect fit for the Chiefs. And we talked yesterday, Tom, and I think it's the right comparison. It reminds me of Sammy Watkins. Is he going to be the star that he used to be? No. Could he be a featured back somewhere else and be disappointing again on a disappointing team? Yes. But in this offense, with this team, with a head coach who knows how to utilize people, with both the pressure not to have to succeed individually, which will result in success for him when the moment is right, it's going to be a great fit for Anthony Davis. And that's the thing, man. This is true in America. And you can love it or you can hate it, and it probably depends on your situation. But it's true in sports, too. They reflect. They're a mirror. They're not a distraction. The rich get richer. That's the deal. That's the deal. And it's going to be true for the Lakers, too. Anthony Davis, I like the move, has made the decision. I'm a little surprised, to be honest, that he's going to opt out of his deal. He has an opt out and re-sign with the Lakers. And whether he signs a 1+1, so basically a 2-year deal with an opt out in the second year, or 2+1 or 3+1 is up to him. The reason that I'm a little surprised that he's doing it is because normally you do this, and the reason that LeBron really was the guy that blazed this trail, because every year the cap goes up because of the BRI, basketball-related income agreement that was made between the owners and the players and the Players Association, and every year the money's gone up. Well, it's going to drastically go down unless, and they may agree to artificially, not inflate, but keep it where it is, and then smooth in the losses that are true from COVID in the years ahead. But the money's not going to be more. If the top salary was $40 million for your particular slot in the NBA, it's not going to be $52 million. It's going to be maybe $28 million or $25 million. It's going to be less money. So I'm a little surprised that he didn't opt into his option at $28 million. The math probably means, and I'm not a capologist by any stretch, that even with the decline, they believe, his agent, speaking of agents, believes that there will be enough money for him in a one-year deal to get a little bit more, to get in the 30s probably, I think is what he's aiming for, from 28 to the 30s. And he can just continue to have, in effect, one-year deals until the market gets back to where it's supposed to be, when this country gets back to where it used to be. And the other thing is, and we'll see what he decides, 2+1, 1+1, everybody's got to kind of worry about injury, right? We saw that with Dak a little bit, right? Like, you know, Anthony Davis has to worry more than most. If you're anybody in a sport, you have to worry. If you're Humpty Dumpty, you know, and you keep relying on all the king's men to put you back. And let me say this. Let me just take a shot gratuitously at Anthony Davis, who I actually think is a great player. I'm over the whole, like, oh, I am injured. I cannot move. The death knell. Oh, I'm good. Let's go. Let's roll, boys. Like, which is it? How many times I've almost, and I hate Twitter, I've almost tweeted publicly, like, sure, bro, but I don't. Because I'm worried it's a career-ending injury, like at least 41 times in this past playoffs. Like, what are you, Samuel Jackson with the healing powers of the bald guy Bruce Willis? Like, which are you? Which version of are you broken because someone bumped into you on the way to get a coffee and your shoulder has fallen off, or are you indestructible? I'm over. But anyway, that has nothing to do with the contract. Good for the Lakers. Good for the Chiefs. The rich get richer. And that will continue to happen because AD's sticking around. means, we already know LeBron's under contract. It just reinforces what we already knew. People are going to flock to that organization at a pay cut in order to try to win a championship. I wouldn't be surprised if a Montrezl Harrell decides to hell that I want to go. I don't know that Fred VanVleet's going to take a pay cut, and certainly I hope he could stay with the Raptors. He's won a championship, but it might be tempting. Even when you win one, doesn't mean you don't want one or two or three or four more. The Lakers are just going to get better. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. I'm Bill Ryder, a Beverly Hillbilly, if you will. And the Bill, there's, you know, a little symmetry there, too. Huh? Huh? Talking for a living. Ryder, I might give you the number to the whisper phone because I like the insights, even though they don't make a damn lick of sense. Let's get into Daryl Morey out as the GM and Ty Lue in as the head coach of the Clippers next on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
I feel like I'm good at a lot of things, bad at a lot of things. And I always value when I find somebody who's got a skill set that enhances my life. And Tom DiBenedetto does that on top of his excellent, and this is included, his excellent producing radio skills. I watch a lot of TV. I didn't. I actually gave up television for like 4 or 5 years when I was younger because I was working and whatever. And I traveled a lot. We'll travel again when the world goes back to normal. Watch a lot of TV. It's a golden age for TV. I thought I sort of was all over all the stuff I wanted to see. And Tom, do you remember this? You suggested Rick and Morty because I like parallel universes and concepts around them.
That's
I
right.
like Fringe. And I got mad at you because yes. I finally went to do it. I was all excited. I pulled it up on Hulu and a cartoon came up. And I think I quite literally out loud cursed you.
I remember. And it took me like 6 weeks to convince you to even pull it up. And then you finally right. pulled it up and you were not pleased.
Wonder who the random actors are. You know, who are the... I was so angry it was a cartoon.
And then 22 minutes later.
I couldn't stop watching. It's one of the best. And it is. That's on all the rankings. One of the best shows of all time. And you've been trying to push me on another adult cartoon that is on all the other rankings. Whenever I look at best 100 TV shows of all time or top 10, it's on most of these lists. BoJack Horseman. And it's amazing. And since I don't sleep, I guess, I've watched an entire season in the last 5 days. It's really dark. I love it. And Lori and I last night, my wife and I, Lori, after baseball, were sitting around watching it, just marveling. We kept pausing it and just looking at each other and saying some version of, I think this show is literally brilliant. Or we stopped to Google who the writers were because they're literal geniuses. But it's dark. And you just told me it's about to get darker?
Yes. Season one is like a picnic compared to the rest of the show.
All right.
But a lot of places say that it is the single best Netflix original series.
I also didn't know it was Netflix. I just assumed it was Cartoon Network for adults.
Nope.
It's so stay tuned because I can take in some of that darkness. But it was like Breaking Bad back in the day. I watched all of it to catch up. And then it was like a baseline pure darkness. And I had to just like look at photos of rainbows for 2 months before I could go back to Breaking Bad.
It's in that area, along with The Leftovers, which we've also just finished together recently.
So good.
These are in the very dark category. All so amazing, but just like you can't. It's almost like the cloud hangs over you all day after you watch an episode. You can't drop it until you finish the show. Move on.
That is why I would argue to my last breath. And now I used to say top five. There's been an expansion of great TV since this show came out. So top 10. Top 10 all-time show. All time. Friday Night Lights. And this is not my line. It's a TV critic. I can't remember who it was. But what makes a lot of these dark shows you're talking about great is that darkness is a part of the human condition. You can't look away from it. But so is the light. So is joy and happiness and marriage and you know, loving sports. Friday Night Lights is one of the great TV shows of all time because even though it's got a few things that are tough, it is basically the lighter side of life. There is joy. There are some happy endings. And if you can get past the first, whatever, four episodes of, I think, season two, when they were getting canceled on real TV and they got moved and got to do their show again. Have you seen the whole thing?
I've not seen any of it. This is one of my blind spots on TV, yeah.
And, dude, you'll love it. I mean, obviously, the sports thing is incredibly
good. You've recommended it to me before, and I'm ignoring you for some reason, but I got to try.
I mean, Michael B. Jordan, and he doesn't arrive until, I think, season four, is you'll watch this show, and it launches a bunch of careers. And Michael B. Jordan's a critical part of it.
And just an all-time great TV show about football should be probably something that I've seen.
It's a good idea. It is amazing. So on the old sports front, a sea change, an ending and a beginning for two franchises in the second tier of excellence in the NBA and the Western Conference, in the Houston Rockets and the LA Clippers. Close, but not the Lakers, not the Warriors, not the Spurs, not the Heat, not teams that have actually won championships over the last 2, 5, 10, 15 years, but have certainly been in a position where they had an opportunity, were contenders. And that is the hiring of Ty Lue to be the head coach with the Clippers. And we'll get to that in a second. And Daryl Morey as the GM who exits in Houston. I want to hit each of these just quickly. For Houston, and Houston, this is proof I don't hate you, even though I don't like the Astros. I'm a huge Daryl Morey fan. I thought his stance, and I believe his stance on China is part of the reason, probably small, but I think part of the reason he's leaving. And I thought it was brave and correct and accurate. I hate this zero-sum binary approach we have to everything. The reality is, I think, for me personally, your politics may very much disagree. I think the NBA is morally right and righteous on a lot of the things that it pushes, and I think it is cowardly and wrong and immoral, maybe amoral, but I think it's immoral on China. It can be both. Human beings are complicated. None of the people that we root against or for in sports or politics are devils or saints. We're just trying to find people who are the right, you know, closer in the spectrum to one than the other. And the NBA was cowardly and wrong. It still remains that on China, in my opinion. Good for Daryl Morey to tweet what he tweeted and to say what he said and to believe what he believed publicly, regardless of the consequences for the NBA and their money. Beyond that, in the sports sense, 13 years in that time that Daryl Morey has been the GM. By the way, remember, Daryl Morey inherited a Rockets team. It's not like inheriting the Clippers right now for Ty Lue. It's not like inheriting any team that has LeBron James. When Daryl Morey went into Houston, they had first-round exits in the playoffs 3 out of 4 years, no actual superstar. And he didn't get James Harden overnight. He didn't bamboozle Sam Presti in Oklahoma City immediately. He didn't. But that doesn't change the fact that over those 13 years, the Rockets had the second most number of regular season wins over that period in basketball. More than the Heat, more than the Cavs, more than the Lakers, more than anybody over that 13-year span, than only the Spurs. It doesn't change the fact that the Rockets still have, right now in this moment, the longest postseason streak that's active in the NBA at 8 years. Daryl Morey was a magician and a revolutionary as it relates to analytics. He was in a lot of ways Dirk Nowitzki as a GM. He signaled a change. He created a change, but he is not the final end game of that evolution. Both, you know, the stretch for big man has become something more, and the use of analytics in the NBA. Was he too orthodox and absolutist in that approach? I would argue yes. Did it work in a way that is utterly and totally brilliant? Yes, it absolutely did. And his exit from the Rockets is a huge loss. It is a huge loss. I don't know if Daryl Morey would have won an NBA championship with his approach, just like Billy Beane hasn't, as he probably exits for a soccer opportunity on a global scale. What I know is that Daryl Morey is a better GM than 98% of GMs. And not to disrespect Rob Pelinka or Pat Riley, who actually has one without LeBron, or any of the folks, David Griffin. Outside of having LeBron James on your basketball team, there are almost no GMs who have won an NBA championship, have put together an NBA championship winning team in the last many minutes. It's a very small list. And to not be on it does not make you a failure. It just means you didn't succeed the way that you wanted. Daryl Morey, I salute you wherever you are for your brilliance, for really, I think your moral clarity on an issue that matters and is important. And I really hope that basketball is in your future. And I think it'll be interesting if and when he chooses to do that. And we don't know the realities of how much he's really stepping down or being pushed out. And if he's being pushed out or it's just an uncomfortable relationship, how much of that is basketball versus China? But we'll have clarity on that if he wants to come back and he can't find a job, because he is one of the best GMs in the sport. On Ty Lue, I have a history criticizing Ty. I have a history criticizing a lot of people. I have a history criticizing Ty Lue. And we used to mock him on a regular basis when he was with the Cavs. I'm getting a Tom, just get a little insight here. Tom, you're telling me that Ty Lue's called into the show again?
How about that?
I'm really shocked. Okay, Ty, thanks. Ty Lue here on the show, new head coach of the Clippers. Thanks for being here. Why did you decide to call into Ryder than you on CBS Sports Radio?
I don't know.
I don't really know either. So. Do you feel like you're going to have success in L.A.?
No, not really.
Okay. Well, that's not a lot of confidence. I mean, but to be fair, like, do you feel like, you know, Kawhi Leonard, you know, can be as good a leader as a catalyst for championship chase as LeBron?
I don't know.
Well, what about – that's probably something you should try to figure out. What's going on with Montrezl Harrell and Paul George's problems?
I don't know.
Do you like doing this interview?
No, not really.
Are you a fan of the show?
No, not really.
Do you actually care about winning?
No, not really.
Do you think you're going to win an NBA championship with the Clippers?
No, not really.
Do you think Steve Ballmer knows you're just taking his money?
No, not really.
Ty Lue, everybody, here on the show. Thank you so much for being here. All right, so that's what we did to Ty. That's our thing. We did it in Cleveland. And I'm not a 180. I'm going to offer you my perspective and whether or not it's a abdication of my former criticism of Ty Lue or a willingness to evolve, you can decide. Because I don't think he was a remarkable head coach with the Cleveland Cavaliers. In fact, I know that he wasn't. And I know for a fact, and look, to quote The Wire, it's all in the game. But sources, when I was doing that full-time, and I guess I'm doing it again full-time, as an NBA insider years ago, told me, before we knew David Blatt and his arrogance was going to get in the way, before David Blatt alienated his GM, the media, and LeBron James, which, you know, not a great combo in Cleveland, I knew and was told that Ty Lue was hired as the top assistant under David Blatt before a single game had been played in the regular season. Ty Lue was already undermining David Blatt so aggressively to get that job if Blatt got fired that it got to me before they had coached a single game. I'm not mad at Ty Lue for that. People are political animals all the time. It happens. I think they just don't realize in LeBron's orbit, there's a lot more scrutiny of what you're doing and what you're about. But Ty Lue's run to a championship with Cleveland was more about two factors than Ty Lue's basketball acumen. LeBron James being present and David Blatt not being present. That is what Ty Lue brought to the table. That doesn't mean he's not a genius as a head coach. It doesn't mean he's not an X's and O's guru. He just didn't have to be. That wasn't the job of LeBron. And as a guy that shouldn't have but accidentally walked into some practices at the NBA Finals back in the LeBron-Cleveland years, LeBron ran those practices. LeBron has talked openly about he made the play calls. Right? He did that with Blatt. That's the deal. And yeah, I think he's bought in more with Vogel, but also remember, Vogel's a defensive guy, where LeBron's probably going to be attuned to Vogel getting other guys in defensive position on offense. A lot of times the offensive play is get the ball to LeBron James. He's the greatest facilitator maybe in the history of the game for that level of excellence. You can make the Magic argument. I'd probably make the LeBron argument. None of that is a criticism to Ty Lue. It just means if I had been in Ty Lue's shoes with LeBron's buy-in in Cleveland, I would be an NBA championship head coach. And I promise you, I would fail as the head coach of the Clippers. I'm promising you. That ain't my gift. If I have any, that ain't one of them. It doesn't mean Ty Lue doesn't have those skills. It just means it is to be determined, which is a huge risk on the face of it. Let me tell you what Ty Lue does do well and why I think the Clippers in particular are the right place. Ty Lue is, and this is true beyond my criticism of him. This is true, and it's become more true over the years, remarkably well-respected and well-liked on a personal level, on a what he has done to earn his place in the NBA level by players in the National Basketball Association. And that kind of respect doesn't come easily. Ty Lue is from Nebraska, I think. No, he's from Mexico, Missouri, where I bit small town and played at Nebraska. I mean, this is a guy who pulled himself up through his talent and his hard work, who got himself into the NBA in a very marginal way. Again, through hard work, right? Outworking people, knew his role, and went into the coaching scene, just grinded it out. Even the political sort of cutthroat nature of what he's about, I respect, even if it's not my approach. So, the thing I think the Clippers require the most to begin, not to reach their ceiling, but to begin, is a steady hand in that locker room. Someone well-liked enough to create both boundaries and likability. Not Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers is liked, right? He's liked, but Doc Rivers being a... So there's two facts about Doc Rivers I'm going to say that, again, are going to be taken as criticisms and are going to mean I'm never going to get a return phone call, I guess not from the Sixers, which is what it is in my other job. And I hope it'll be heard with the nuance with which I intended. Doc Rivers is not as likable and jolly behind the scenes as he presents to the media. That is a facade. That is a media strategy. But that's okay. Nick Saban's not a super... He's just more honest about it up front, right? Coach K is not a warm and fuzzy guy. He's not a likable guy behind the scenes. Trust me. That's more of a... And I think the sheen's come off that a little bit, right? Who cares? Like, I happen to just like guys who are what they are. Bill Self, Frank Martin, Eric Spoelstra, Nick Saban, different personalities. What you see is actually what you get. Not true with Doc Rivers, which I think led to some issues at times when Doc was saying one thing and being something else in a locker room that didn't have a very good vibe and wasn't well run. It wasn't well run. There was dysfunction and there was bad chemistry going all the way back to Chris Paul and Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan. Now, is that a Chris Paul problem? I can tell you as a fact that it is a guy that reported that out. But that's why you have a head coach to solve those problems, to head them off, to not get them to a point where you have to literally go down to Texas and have a hostage situation with DeAndre Jordan to keep him on your team. And fast forward all the way to this past year, where a very scrappy, impressive, but not capable for a championship Clippers team last year, got Kawhi Leonard and got Paul George. What's the number one management necessity and requirement if you're Doc Rivers? Just make sure that the new stars get along with the non-stars who view themselves as having built something. And he could. Montrezl Harrell reportedly, not just reportedly, pretty loudly post-game, and Paul George don't like each other, don't get along. So Ty Lue's ability to step in, having studied under Doc Rivers and having a lot of credibility there, but not being Doc Rivers, his likability, his respect, his ability, it's not easy to manage LeBron James. It is not easy, and I've talked to guys who have done it as head coaches, it is, and assistants and people in organizations. People that like LeBron a lot, who then go to work with him, realize, no matter their role, I'm talking some powerful people, they work for him in LeBron's eyes. And so that likability goes away. It ain't easy. Ty Lue did do that successfully. He did. And so what I think is certain is that in terms of Steve Ballmer and that organization needing someone to fix that locker room, Ty Lue is the absolute right hire. And Chauncey Billups being added to the mix too, by the way, as the top assistant coach is a great decision. You're talking so much credibility with those players. I was in a green room at Fox Sports 1 5-6 years ago whenever Chauncey retired for like 6 hours, 3 weeks in a row when he was trying out for us. With him and Jim Jackson and Gary Payton and some other guys. And Chauncey talked very candidly about he was going to be a GM or a head coach. And that's what this is about. He's going to get there and he's going to grind and he's going to work it. I love it. What we don't know, and by don't know, I don't mean they can't do it. I honestly mean I don't know, is what the X's and O's ability, approach, philosophy is of these guys. We've seen people come from the playing background and from television and have a ton of success. Steve Kerr's a great example. Went from the TV world to an X's and O's approach that he brought to Golden State that turned them into champions. So maybe Chauncey Billups coming from TV is going to be remarkable. Maybe Ty Lue has a philosophy and approach. I don't know. And Steve Nash, to be determined. Does Steve Nash deserve that job? So much criticism of Steve Nash. I don't know. We're going to find out. Same for Chauncey. And frankly, Ty, even though he's been a head coach, because it's not a LeBron James team. And let me say this lastly, why I think the Ty Lue hire is a good decision. Doesn't mean it'll be the right decision, but the right call for what you know. There's no scenario where they hire someone in that team, in that organization, without the sign-off of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And unlike other hires, and those of you like me that have had to hire people before, know you just can't evaluate people who don't work with you or for you. You just can't. You can't do it. Someone that I used to work for once said that people apply for jobs at places they work when they're not available. Like when a job comes open in your place of work, you've been applying for that job for the last however many years you've worked there. You just don't realize that. Every petty moment, all of it, all the successes, that's true. And the advantage that the Clippers have, and clearly and rightfully allowing Paul George and Kawhi Leonard to make a decision about this, is that Ty Lue is there. He was an assistant. They know who he is. They have assessed him. They have made an evaluation. They don't have to guess like they do with Jeff Van Gundy, who, by the way, is up for a job with the Houston Rockets that he, as I said a few weeks ago, when he was like, no, they've never choked. He was lying to you on national TV and using his platform as an announcer to apply for a job and not give you the straight truth. And that's a fact. But they have to guess on Jeff Van Gundy or Stan Van Gundy or some hotshot assistant somewhere else. They don't have to guess on Ty Lue. So even though I like the bit and making fun of Ty, I think it's a great hire. I think it's the right move by the Clippers. And we'll see, like we saw with Daryl Morey over 13 years, whether or not this kind of calculated and interesting risk pays off. I hope it does. I'd love the Clippers to be good. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS. Do you think the Clippers can be actual contenders under Ty Lue? If you want to give us a call or hit me up on Twitter, Sports R-E-I-T-E-R, Sports Writer, please do so. Also going to talk a little NFL next year on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Writer with you on this Friday. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. If you want to give us a call, we have a way to do that. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by GEICO. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to GEICO, it'll keep you up at night. Switch to GEICO and save. Can I just make a real quick aside? It's not like the Zoom reality started yesterday, right? And you're still adjusting. What is with people on Zoom meetings bringing like clear props of their masculinity, their intelligence, or whatever it is of the Zoom meeting? Like we have a scheduled Zoom meeting, you know, at school or the PTA or whatever it is, right? the guy that's got the giant power shake that he drinks during the meeting, or the dude that's like, let me get my spectacles and have Aristotle just clearly within the frame of the shot. Hey, man, we all knew this meeting had been coming for a long time. Don't need you to tell me. I like the people we're talking about. It annoys the hell out of me. Let me eat my burrito right now. Just shove it down my face whenever Ryder's talking or Lucy's talking. I'm just going to eat my lunch right now. It's a 10-minute Zoom call about a school meeting. You couldn't have, and it's 2:30 in the afternoon. You can't find the opportunity to just do it at a different time? I'm hungry too. I got a beer over here, but my boss is on the call. So I'm just going to wait the 60 seconds before I get back to the Budweiser at an inappropriate time in a 2020 pandemic reality. It annoys me. All right, 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. Little news out there, and I'm sure Arb will give us some of this. Andrew Ryan Bogus, you know, Arb over, you know, Mr. Update. And his son, Little Arb. I guess Little Arb probably. Oh, it's Bogus's kid in the Skype. You can't see him, but I can. Little news. The Falcons have cleared the scares as it relates to their COVID tests and are a full go, Maverick. Green light for their game against, what, they got the Vikings this weekend? Is that what's going on? That's a great football game. And no, it's not. And the Colts have some positive tests. That is the report that is out there. We don't have details on that. Indianapolis obviously is concerned. It's disconcerting anytime you have this situation. Here's the good news. Here's some positivity. Baseball, Major League Baseball dropped its positive COVID tests again today, the 5,147 tests or whatever it is. No positive test. Hasn't had a positive test for a very, very long time. We know the NBA and the NHL were able to get through their bubble successfully. So hopefully the National Football League and their ability to continue to recognize, identify, and isolate those folks who are positive for COVID-19 will correlate pretty strongly to the ability to keep the NFL season going. We will keep you updated as it happens. Phone number here, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4CBS. And Adam Schefter tweeting yet again some news in Colts Bengals. Test coming back clean. Game on. That's in response to Jim Irsay tweeting that all is well. Details shortly. Colts Bengals, 1 p.m. Sunday. So it sounds like it's a go. Great news for the Colts. Bad news for the Bengals. Not a lot of good news for the Bengals out there, though. That's just part of the deal. All right, let's get to Arb over here. Arb. Andrew Bogus.
Bill. Sweet Willie.
What's up, buddy? Hey, man. I got one for Tom, but it's not really a nickname. It's a segment. When we do betting, why don't we just go Tommy DeBetadetto? DeBet.
I love that voice.
Yeah.
I love that voice, yeah. That's not me. That's the whisper phone.
Right, exactly.
It's not better than DeBenz.
It DeBenz is amazing.
DeBetadetto is a little bit too, like...
on the nose?
Yeah, you can't even tell that there's a pun in there.
It's true.
I just feel like you...
That's your name's fault.
Someone like you wants to accentuate the pun more than that.
That's your name's fault, bro.
Fair enough.
Blame your forefathers.
Certainly heard that enough.
Yeah. Blame your forefathers or Arb. Don't blame Sweet Willie over here, right?
Right. We can only work with what you give us. And DeBenedetto only can go so far.
God, this guy. Freaking Tommy over here. Tommy!
Freaking Tommy. Tommy Tie-Ties.
I just saw your son. Tommy Tie-Ties. That's true. Tom loves alliteration and the use of his name in puns. Arb, do you know that? Loves it.
I didn't.
Embraces it in a real way.
Never come up before.
Never come up. What's up with your boy? I saw him move into the Skype shot. Little Zoom break.
Well, when you mentioned people bringing props to Zoom, I went running down to my basement and got the only thing that I've ever won of significance to hold next to me during
this trophy. Thing. What is it?
So then he came running up and wanted to see the trophy and stayed for a second and got really close to the computer and waved to Tom and then left.
What do you mean waved to Tom? Look, Arb, he was waving to me, all right? Be like,
you're right. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. I don't know. I'm going to tell you what's up with your kid, okay? I'm going to give you some insight on someone I don't know and have never met. Host prerogative.
Well, he's mad too because my betting has cost him some yokai medals, so he's holding that against you as well. Yeah.
I am to blame for that?
You are.
If only Tom had a better name, we could pin it on DeBenedetto, but his freaking forefathers in Italy had to go with this moniker. I don't understand the Zoom thing. Like, it really is like the dramatic, the guys and gals out there who feel the need to like pretend like very, very casually, let me just pull this weight up while we're in the middle of our meeting. I'm so strong. Like, bro, it's a 3-minute Zoom meeting. You're doing this right now?
So my problem is there's apparently, and I'm sure D-Ben is on this, and maybe you are too, this weekly power Zoom call that you guys all have with the bosses. And like, I'm glad that I'm not on it until I don't know that things happen because I'm not on the call. And I like to be in the middle of things, even though I'm not important enough to actually be there. So I kind of want to be on this call at the same time as being thankful that I've never been invited.
Interesting. Well, Mark Chernoff, our boss, and David Marinick, our boss, do occasionally listen to the show. So if they're right. listening now, perhaps the message they should be hearing, Mark Chernoff and David Marinick, is that Arb over here, or you know, Andrew Bogish as you know him, good old 50 Shades, would like to be included in one of these calls or have a new one created that he can join and be a part of.
Big mistake.
Is that the message you're trying to get
Big
out?
Big mistake right here.
Well, maybe they could give me, and this would be hard to predict, maybe they can get a whisper phone call of their own, but I heard yesterday's was particularly entertaining. So if they're predicting something good, then let me know and I'll be on. But if it's just a regular, mundane, weekly check-in, I'll sit that one out.
I'm drawing a blank here, and I was on that call. What's the word on the street about yesterday's call?
I just heard people were defending like guest choices and length of interviews and just stuff like that. There's a couple of back and forths that might have been worth hearing in the moment.
I actually missed
what
that.
I'm getting.
I got on like 4 minutes late, and my internet went out a couple times. What guests shouldn't have been on? We probably shouldn't break it all down.
Yeah, I don't want to give specifics and let people know who exactly we're talking about, but I heard there was some quality back and forth on the Zoom that maybe like should have been a personal conversation, not one for the group.
On the host, on the call I was on.
Maybe I'm misreading the whispers I got this morning, but I heard there was a couple of good moments of back and forth.
Was there a producer call yesterday too, Tom?
Not that I'm aware of, but I was exempt from the producer call from the beginning. And as far as I know, the producer call has ended. But maybe they had one yesterday without me.
Dude, the whisper phone brings you some info, man. Not just the gambling insights, but the like gossip at CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. I like to be good at gossip and probably to a fault at times where I maybe say things I shouldn't say on or off the radio.
What?
That's why I want to be on this call because I want to have all the dirt as much as possible.
You have the dirt. I was on the call and you know more than I do. What CBS Sports Radio host, name this person, was the big loser on the call yesterday?
I don't know that there was a loser actually.
Give me a name. It's not mine.
You always win. I'm not going. I think I'm in enough trouble at the moment, so I'm good for now.
You're holding up a sign. Does that say DA or Brandon? I don't know. I'm just kidding.
It doesn't say DA.
Oh, Arb. I know. That was unfair because you're on that show. And to be fair, DA wasn't on the call, so it couldn't be DA.
I heard that too. I didn't want to mention that, but I did hear that somebody missed the call yesterday.
I don't think it's required. It's like if you're around, if you're available, if you can be there.
Oh, you can just drop in?
I mean, I don't know. I've only been back for like a month. I'm new to everything. True. The warm welcome I get though has been really. I mean, that has been really nice. There's like the embrace with people's eyes and smiles has been awesome when I'm on the Zoom call. Like it does feel a little Care Bearish, right? Just like people beaming their feelings in my direction has been magic. But you know, I digress. What else we got going on?
I can't speak for our radio product, but it's a great community. Everybody's happy and best friends.
It is. I mean, just it's. I'm like, do I need to send like thank you notes for this? Because this is over the top.
Yeah. Should I have made cupcakes? Indianapolis Colts headquarters is closed today while the team worked to confirm multiple COVID-19 positives. And as you just read, owner Jim Irsay tweeting, "All is well. Details shortly. Colts Bengals 1 p.m. Sunday." With an exclamation point, so everything seems to be okay. These sound like false positives in Indy. Falcons-Vikings is also safe and sound at the moment because of no new positives in Atlanta. The Falcons worked virtually after their second positive of the week, but are back in their building today. And the Browns have no positive this morning, including Odell Beckham Jr., who was sent home sick yesterday. Now, he is still home today, though, because NFL policies now call for players and coaches with COVID-like symptoms to stay home even if they are testing negative. Bill, you said it perfectly last hour. Bryce with an S. Wilson was better than Clayton Kershaw in game four of the NLCS last night.
Once I got out there through the first pitch, I felt, like you said, calm, cool, and collected. We were able to stick with the game plan, and that helped a lot. Didn't have to think too much. Just execute pitches.
Wilson is just 22. Last night was his first appearance since late September, just the eighth start of his career. He allowed only an Edwin Rios solo homer while striking out five over six. While Kershaw couldn't get through six, eventually charged with four runs on seven hits over five plus. That raises his career LCS ERA to 4.84. The Braves taking game four 10-2 for a 3-1 series lead. They're now one win away from their first World Series since 99. That all happened after the Rays let most of us down again. A second straight failure to send the Astros home for good. Nick Anderson serving up Carlos Correa's game-ending solo homer for a 4-3 final. Tampa manager Kevin Cash confident heading towards game six later today.
This isn't a tough stretch. We're playing good baseball against a very good team. And it's a lot of, back and forth. So very confident that we'll be ready to go.
Cash is starting Blake Snell against fellow lefty Framber Valdez today. First pitch just after 3 Pacific. Game 5 in the NLs at 8 Central. Unless Nick Saban tests negative for COVID 3 consecutive times, with the last two coming within 24 hours apart, he can't coach Alabama tomorrow night against Georgia. NCAA rules prohibit any in-game communication from anyone outside the stadium. We've got some top 25 action tonight. Number 17, SMU at Tulane at 6 Eastern. Then number 14, BYU at Houston at 9:30. Ty Lue is the Clippers' new head coach, and Daryl Morey stepping down as Rockets GM. He had that job for 13 seasons, 14 total with the club. Bill, back to you.
Bogus, thanks, buddy. Have you guys seen this crazy thing out of Taiwan, this baseball game where a dude hit what he thought was the tying run late in the game? A guy, the center fielder, went up to the wall and tried to make the catch, but he actually did make the catch, but then pretended he didn't and like slumped his shoulders while the guy ran around celebrating. The crowd went crazy. And then when the guy like rounded second, between second and third, revealed the ball, but the guy didn't know he's out. So he's like pointing at everybody. Everyone's like all depressed, and he's like high fiving people, and they're trying to tell him, "Yo, bro, that dude fooled you."
That's amazing. I did not see that. But they're clearly ahead of the curve because they've moved on from bat flipping to now like faking each other out about critical outs. I love it.
When I played Little League, my favorite, so dumb, I tried it 108 times at work once. My favorite move, probably because I was, 12, because I played first base and I'm left-handed, was the pretend to throw the ball back to the pitcher. And I got a guy once. It was like it's maybe the highlight. Look, the birth of my two children was amazing and my marriage was awesome, but pretty close to the highlight of my life.
But the hidden ball trick.
The old hidden ball.
Looking back, that's obnoxious.
I've seen grown men fight over the hidden ball trick in youth baseball. Like, the coaches fight with each other. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Those guys probably need to go back to school just to learn how to be normal people. Unbelievable. All right, Arb's not going to drop whatever. Apparently, there's some. We're going to get the name out of Arb, whatever host. Really did not show well on the old CBS Sports Radio Zoom call. We'll break that news to you next week. In the meantime, great work by Andrew Bogish at Andrew Bogish on Twitter. Show ain't done yet. We're getting close, but we want to hit some of the biggest stories in sports that we've yet to touch on, giving an opinion on each and every one of them, buy or sell, with me, Bill Ryder, up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Ryder Than You podcast.
Look, I love doing the show. And I, more than appreciate you listening and taking time to spend some of your time with us here on CBS Sports Radio. But man, Fridays are beautiful, beautiful things, aren't they? Love it. Love it.
Bye.
Hell yeah, it's a bye. My weird new obsession with soccer means international break is over. I wouldn't know what an international break was 14 months ago. What a mocked time for me. Oh, the international break. I'm fancy. It's a hell of a sport. I'm in. I got hooked.
And what a concept, too. You take a break from the club team that pays you to go play for, not for free, but for a set price for the country, and
Messi,
risk injury in the middle of the
Messi
season.
Messi goes to Bolivia up at altitude and like gets in a fight with a trainer who's from his own country but is the physical trainer for Bolivia. It's
Ronaldo gets COVID.
Ronaldo gets... Yeah, I'd love to see the background to like what he was actually doing. And I'll say this, too, as a criticism of Major League Baseball. I was watching some soccer last year. I was sort of into Barcelona because I love the city. But I wasn't obsessed with it. It was June when there was no sports, nothing to do, trapped in my house. I didn't have any work to do. I wasn't doing radio yet, and the NBA wasn't going. I was just like stuck in my house with my family, and soccer came back. And I'm like, all right, I guess I'll just watch every – I don't speak Spanish particularly well. I wish I did. I watch every single La Liga game, and most are in Spanish on Fubo TV. Had it been baseball, had it been anything in this country that's relatively mainstreamish, I would have gotten into it. What a missed opportunity. Crazy. You know what's not a missed opportunity? Doing buy or sell.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
Thought I was going to forget to throw to it, didn't you? You're a little worried,
no,
Tom.
No. I mean, I threw in the buy drop to remind you, so I knew that once I...
I knew that was a nudge.
Yeah, once I played like that, I knew we'd be okay.
But I know what I'm doing.
Let's talk about that SEC game of the week, which is still very much on, as you've heard Andrew Bogus saying all morning. Number 2, Alabama versus number 3, Georgia on, despite the positive COVID test from Nick Saban, who is thankfully asymptomatic so far. Theoretically, he could still be cleared for the sidelines, as you heard from Andrew. 3 straight positive tests and 2 within a 24-hour period. So theoretically, he would have had to have tested already negative once and then once more today and once more tomorrow. He likely will not be involved in any way, as coaches are prohibited from in-game communication with their staffs while in quarantine. Yesterday, Saban said the rule, quote, doesn't seem quite right, end quote. Buy or sell, Saban should be able to coach the team remotely tomorrow night.
100%.
Buy.
If the U.S. Congress can find a way to allow some remote hearings against tradition, because, you know, people have COVID and or don't want to be around the possibility of contracting it, I would think that college football and all of its wisdom, that is absolute sarcasm to those folks at the NCAA in Indianapolis where we're on the air, should be able to understand in a remarkably rare time that these sorts of exceptions should be made. Of course, Nick Saban should be allowed to communicate with his staff if he is COVID positive from his house in Tuscaloosa, from his mansion in Tuscaloosa.
Imagine like the battle station he could build to coach from home. What an interesting opportunity that could be. I guess it won't happen.
I would love to see like what that looks like. Is it like he kisses his wife and he says I love you to his grandkids before like just F-bombing on Zoom the assistant coaches? Just the transition.
Probably something vaguely like that.
It'd be
yes.
Amazing.
All right, so the week started with us still processing a horrifyingly ugly injury to Dak Prescott, but he posted an update on his health to social media yesterday on his way to his first post-surgery doctor's visit.
What's up, everyone? Just want everyone to know that I'm doing well, and I can't thank you enough for all your love, your support, your prayers over the last few days. They've been more than overwhelming from teammates to family to friends to fans I don't know to former and current players around the league and players around all sports. I just wanted to say thank you. They're definitely appreciated and received well. So just knowing that I have that much love and support out there makes a huge difference.
Buy or sell, Dak will be signed to a long-term contract with the Cowboys before we see him take the field again.
Man, he's such a likable guy, isn't he?
He really is.
I like the dude. Oh, buy or sell. You know what? It's a Friday. Let's go with optimism.
Buy.
I'm not sure that's a very good decision by the Cowboys, and it depends on the medicals and what they feel like, where they feel like he's at physically post his surgeries and, frankly, his rehab. And I understand that, you know, it also depends on how it affects the negotiations and how Prescott and his agent value him in that scenario. But that seems like a pretty tall order.
Drew Lock is back for the Broncos this week for a huge game against the Patriots.
It's great to be back with the guys, calling plays in the huddle, feeling camaraderie of the team. You know, it gets pretty lonely back there when you're with the headset and just kind of walking through things in your head. But it's what I had to do when I was hurt, and Brett did a fantastic job when he came in there, and he did what he needed to do. He got us a win, which is awesome.
Also returning is his opposing quarterback, Cam Newton. The Patriots are 9.5-point favorites in this one. Buy or sell, Lock can keep the Broncos within 10 points against New England.
Look, Tom, as you know, multiple studies, longitudinal data, have suggested that you never doubt anyone from the University of Missouri. That is, I think, what they call science.
Verifiable fact.
Verifiable. Do you know where I went to school? It doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. Verifiable truth. But no, I think.
So.
I think Cam Newton and the Patriots are gonna roll these guys.
All right, finish.
Who are you on? Are you on New England?
Yes. Not feeling great about it. It's a lot of points.
Yeah, but you can't bet. I avoid betting on Patriots, but you can't bet on Denver.
All right, we'll finish with some baseball. This is a kind of a crazy rumor, but Bob Nightingale reported this week that 76-year-old Hall of Famer Tony La Russa is the White Sox top candidate to replace freshly fired Rick Renteria. La Russa had a couple of iffy front office stops in recent years with the Diamondbacks and the Red Sox. Supposedly, their number two choice is A.J. Hinch. Buy or sell either Tony La Russa or A.J. Hinch being a good idea for the White Sox.
It does speak to a level of desperation, doesn't it, to win a World Series with this group? Yeah, I actually, look.
Buy.
Yes. And there's an age issue with La Russa, but that guy's one of the greatest. It pains me to say this as a Cubs fan. He's one of the greatest managers in the history of the sport. He has a remarkable, remarkable talent and insight. Remember, his best friends are people like Bill Belichick, Nick Saban. He is friends with these guys in sort of a shared respect, but he's on that level as it relates to his understanding of the game. I don't want to see A.J. Hinch get that chance, and I understand that is aggressive, but he's going to. And if you're the White Sox, you err on the side of not doing the right thing. You err on the side of doing the right thing for your organization. I don't like it. I will criticize it when it happens on the air if it happens, but I understand what the White Sox are doing.
Vegas has once again made the Rays a favorite at -134 on the money line for Game 6 against the Astros tonight, but things are certainly getting tense after Carlos Correa's walk-off last night made it a 3-2 series. This has to be considered Tampa's best chance to close out the Astros, with ace Blake Snell taking the mound. Earlier in the series, Snell allowed one run in five innings and was Game 1's winning pitcher. Buy or sell, Snell will be the winning pitcher again tonight.
Good question. Something John Morosi told us yesterday stays with me, and that is that they have kept it loose all year. It's a loose clubhouse. They laugh, they joke, they have a good time. This is where those things pay off. I think it's near coin flip. I think it's very close with how well the Astros are playing. Every game has been close. Every game the Rays have lost has been close. But I'm going to buy.
Buy.
I think, unlike Clayton Kershaw, Snell is going to pitch like the pitcher that he is, not the pitcher that he pretends to be in the regular season. And I think they're going to get a really, it feels like a 2-1 or a 3-2 kind of ball game.
And over on the NLCS, it's certainly been a wild series for crooked number innings, as the Dodgers, of course, began Game 3 with an 11-run first, while the Braves punched back last night with a 6-run sixth to take a 3-1 lead in the series. Buy or sell, there will be another huge scoring inning in Game 5 tonight.
Buehler goes tonight for the Dodgers, right?
It's actually May tonight.
Oh, that's right. It is May. He's got a live arm.
He does. He really does.
I thought they might use him as a closer, actually, this postseason. I mean, you can't, obviously, given the situation. No, I think it'll be more of a pitching duel. Really interesting, right? Like, you just win one game tonight, Dodgers fans, and the momentum shifts back so aggressively in your direction.
I'm not ready to give up, but it is not looking good. It is not looking good.
Couldn't bring myself to bet on the Astros yesterday. Heading into the game yesterday, before that game started in the ALCS, the Astros were, I think it was 100-1 to win the World Series.
Wow. Really?
50-1. It was some crazy number.
You missed that one.
I almost put $100 down. I just thought, I can't live with myself. I can't root for the Astros.
Imagine that.
I can't.
You don't say it on the air at all until they win the series. And then you do a celebration.
I'm more hypocritical than you. I'm Bill Ryder. All right. Hey, have a great weekend. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you. I'm Bill Ryder. This is Ryder Than You. And we'll see you on Monday here on CBS Sports Radio.